I want to thank you all, first of all. I hope the show will be more interesting than the food. Jury's out on that. We'll see. But in any case, thank Dr. Sprecher so much for inviting me. And Lucy for so much, Steinmetz as well. Let me introduce myself. My name is Shmuel Folkman. I'm a member of the Borapat Rabeir. We have some connection with Flatbush. More than some, but we'll leave it at that. I got involved with the Eiv issue many years previously. I learned in a Lichy Yeshiva 35 years ago. Some of my friends were sons of Rosh Yeshivas. As a matter of fact, some of them today are Rosh Yeshivas. At the point, in 1981, I was learning in the evening with a Chavrus and a Masha Klein's Koil. It was also the period when Anasha Klein was involved in establishing the Borough Park area. Needless to say, I had many debates and arguments with my friends from Yeshiva regarding Erevin. No doubt, these debates left a deep impression on me and was instrumental in me becoming involved in the establishment of the current Borough Park area 15 years ago. I always wondered how these debates align with the Yerushalmi and Erevin. That states, Amr Ashur, Pnei Ma, Ma'arvim B'chatzayres, Pnei Dar K'Sholem. Let me tell you, these arguments that I had had little to do with Sholem. So, I'm not sure what that Yishalmi means. I saw one of the Mefarshim mention regarding the Gemara in Sof Brochus. Amr Ablezer, Amr Abchanina, Chamid Chalmarim Sholem Bo'ilam. Accordingly, how is it, he asked, that many times it was Tamid Chacham who caused much of the machloikis? So how does that work? How does that work out with this Gemara? So he says that there is a limited amount of machloikis that there will be. And when Tamid Chacham argue in Torah, they lessen the amount of machloikis from the rest of the world. So there will be less machloikis if the Talmid Chachamim are arguing. So I thought maybe that this is what the Rishalmi and Erevin means as well. The machloikis regarding Erevin will cause fewer arguments regarding other issues. Well, I for one definitely can do without the machloikis. Following this, I think it is pertinent to explore why is it that many times Erevin becomes so rancorous. Erevin is different than any other halachic issue in one significant aspect. Erevin, more than any other issue, vests a certain amount of centralized power to the Baal HaMachshir. People publicly carrying an Arav's Erev is a clear sign of the Pesach's influence and support in the community, unlike relying on the Arav's Heksha on food, which is a more private matter. Consequently, there are people who find it incumbent upon themselves not to allow an Erev to be established and insist that their Rav's opinion is the only one that can be followed. If one were to follow the history of Erevin in cities where there was no central governing Rav or Bezdin, they would find that machloikis often erupted as a result of this desire for dominance in community affairs. Otherwise, Erevin would generate the same level of reaction as, say, a mikveh, where every individual just follows the psak of his own rav. There is an additional reason why Erevin elicits such a response, which manifested itself more recently. This, what I'm going to say now, is a little more controversial. It is a phenomenon that I labeled the Lamdanim factor. The sugyas in Erevin are extremely complex, involving many commentators, and run the gamut from Rishuas to Schiras Rishus, and from issues in Or Chaim to Choshe Mishpat. However, there are numerous Rishonim on Maseches Erevin. It has more Rishonim than nearly all the Masechtas in Shas. For this reason, the Yeshiva Welt believes that Erevin is their domain, and is too entailing an issue for the lowly Moira Ro to paskin on. Albeit, Erevin is not traditionally considered a Yeshiva Shem Masechta. Erevin requires a lamdan, one who can plumb the depths of the sugyas and the rishonim. Erevin requires a lamdan who can seek out the sources without having to rely on any precedent, as do the local poskim. Erevin requires a lamdan who can extrapolate from the rishonim, which some of the great poskim of the past did not understand, or from the rishonim were not published until later. However, in truth, Erevin is not unlike any other halachic issue. Every rav, great or small, has a right to paskin how he sees fit. Erevin is comparable to all other issues in halacha where a posuk recognizes his limitations and accepts the precedence of yesteryear. With this in mind, we can continue on to the history and halachic issues encompassing the Flatbush Erev. At the outset, I would like to state that my shiur should not be the final word on the matter, as I strongly advocate that you follow psak of your own rav. In truth, I can give you why, according to the overwhelming majority of poskim, an Erev can be erected anywhere in Brooklyn. However, I'm primarily going to focus on a Moshe Feinstein Shitas and Erevin, since most of the arguments opposing an Erev in Flatbush are based on his rulings. I would like to start with a brief overview of the 1962 Manhattan Erev, which is relevant to the Flatbush Erev, as we shall soon see. In 1949, the Amshanova Rebbe started the push for an Erev that included the entire Manhattan. There was an Erev in Manhattan that was established in 1905 by Rav Shua Siegel. That Erev did not encompass the entire Manhattan. It was only on the Lower East Side and the Third Avenue L, which doesn't exist anymore, obviously. It was taken down in 1955. Completed the fourth Mechitza. At that point in 49, when Amshanova another Rebbe was pushing, he wanted that they should include the entire Manhattan, because people were all over, they were living all over the place, not just in Lower Manhattan. In any case, many Rabbonim were involved in 1949, some pro and some con. And interestingly, Rav Tovi Goldstein told me most of the Rabbanim supported the Manhattan Erev. This is a little known fact. Most people think that Moshe was against it, Rav Aaron was against it, but the fact is, all the Chassidish Rabbanim, without fail, they were all pro and all supported it, and there were quite a few more of them than there were the five signatures, which we'll get to later, on the Manhattan Kolkoyah opposing the Erev. It was more like 20 or 30 who were pro. But Rav Moshe Stature and Rav Aaron as well played a big role in this. In 1952, after being asked by Rav Zvi Hirsch Eisenstein, he came from Krukka, he was a Rav in Krukka, so a big Talmud Chacham, for his opinion regarding the efficacy of a Manhattan Erev, Rav Moshe Feinstein wrote a lengthy tshuva stating that he was not in support of one. Among other issues, such as the effectiveness of the Manhattan Mechitzas, Rav Moshe argued that the creation, the criterion of Shishim Ribu, that's 600,000 people, that wasn't the Degolei Amidbar, is not conditional of a street, but only on an area of 12 mil by 12 mil, the size of the encampment of the Midbar. The Degolei Amidbar was 12 mil by 12 mil. Rav Moshe came up with this idea that Shishim Ribu, that the Shulchan Aruch is talking about, and all the Rishonim are talking about, applies to a city, but not any, just a city in name, but Yud Beis Mil, 12 mil by 12 mil. We'll get to the size of that later. As we see from the first page of the handout, Rav Moshe did not always understand the criterion of Shishim Ribu as applying to an area 12 mil by 12 mil. As a matter of fact, Rav Moshe understood it to apply to a street or an area. If you have the handout in the first page, which is Igus Moshe Archaim Aleph, Simon Koftes, where I underline, the Gamhu, this is talking about a rain hat on Shabbos, going with a rain hat. This is an old machloikis. This actually is to the Masha Klein. And he writes, the Gamhu, the New York, U Brooklyn, Yesh Ulai Mekoimish, Shehem Nishusaram, the Raisa, Shaholchim Shom Shishim Ribut. In New York, Afshishen the Rice, Mitzat Hekif Mechitzes, Levad Hakshorim, and Kolmokim, Brooklyn, Afshayesh Mekoimus Shehem Rishasarabim. Meaning there were places, not the entire Brooklyn, there were places in Brooklyn that had a din of Rishasarabim because they contained the population of Shishim Ribu, of Rimba. Did you know this, Dr. Sprenger? Did you realize this tshuva? It's a fascinating tshuva. This is 6 months prior to Rav Moshe's writing his letter about the Manhattan Erev. The second page of the handout is a copy of the Tshuva to Rav Eisenstein, where Rav Moshe changed his mind, sort of, and argued that the criterion of Shishim River is conditional of an area 12 mil by 12 mil. However, Rav Moshe admits that it's a chiddush to say so, and it's not the simple understanding of the Shulchan Aruch. So on the second page, we see this is the Tshuva to Rav Eisenstein, Simin Kof Lamed Tes. It's about 6 months later. He wrote to Rav Eisenstein, Avo be'inina samach ribui nidala aniyaz daiti dover chodesh. Original, a new thing. You turn to the next page. So you see on the right side, the right side, right column, it says Shemistaver Shloi Hoy Avram Kalashish and Ibn the Khalid of Khoy Rakhoy, El Shahoy Bemachna Shahoy Shayud Bayz Mil Al Yud Bayz Mil Shishin Ribbi, whatever. He goes on that it has to do with Yud Bayz Mil Al Yud Bayz Mil. That was the Degola Midbar. And he says Vaiter, where I underline in the next column, V'lchein ani yomer shavadai sagi v'zeh sheyeshnam be'ir v'lchala yoyse sheyeshnam rechoy v'skola ir samach ribbe sheyeh havi kemoy b'midbe b'machne. And further on he says ma shenoch et ha-shulchan aruch loshin kezeh, Shulchan aruch says shishim ribbe avrim boy, that means the 600,000 people have to traverse what Rav Moshe is saying. Meaning it's more mustava to say it's going on a street. Mokam levade, kolasamach reboy. Who beshul gerochim shmechutz leir. Rav Moshe wants to say that chutz leir, asratia, it's really going on, the Shulchan Aruch is going on asratia, which as intercity road is not. Doesn't the requirement of Shishim Ribui is that it traverses the road, it's the Satya itself. On the other hand, a city itself, it's Yud Beis Mil al Yud Beis Mil. It has nothing to do with the road. Over what period of time? Rav Moshe doesn't talk about it here, but in a different, in Simon Pei Zayin and Pechet, really, later on, we'll get to the Flatbush Tshuva. There, this is a mistake many make, but there Rav Moshe clearly holds it's a daily requirement. And the Pashtus of the Shulchan Aruch is Shishin Rebbe Avram Boy B'chol Yom. I mean, it is a V'yesh Amrim, and that's why I'm really not going to get into that part, that it's a machloikis, a major, major machloikis. Shishin Rebbe is one of the criterion of Parashas Rabban, but Rav Moshe admits, most definitely it is, we accept it as such. And Rav Moshe tries, if anybody knows the Derech of Rav Moshe and Psach, Rav Moshe always tries to fit his shittus into the Shulchan Aruch. Rav Moshe was a poisek. He wasn't just a Rosh Hashiva, he was a real poisek. And by him, he tried to work within the parameters of the Shulchan Aruch. And the Shulchan Aruch says, Shishin Rebbe Avram Boy B'chol Yoyim, Rav Moshe held B'chol Yoyim. But the Avram Boy bothered him, because Avram Boy sounds like the Shulchan Aruch says the Rechoiv is a Shvakim, and then it says Shishin Rebbe Avram Boy. So it's talking about the Rechoiv, the street. So Moshe says no, the Rechoiv is a Shvakim, and the Avram Boy is going on a Sratia, on an intercity road where it doesn't require a 12 Yud Beis Mil. On the other hand, when we're talking about a city, that's the Yud Beis Mil, the Degulei Amidbar, the Degulei Amidbar, which was Yud Beis Mil or Yud Beis Mil. So he says, "Afshu b'doichik ki mishu loshin meruvach al adrochem." He says it's doichik to say that's pshat in the Shulchan Aruch. But this is what Rav Moshe said. So we see right over here, Rav Moshe admits that what he's saying is a chiddush. And later on, we're going to see that Rav Moshe not only admits that, Rav Moshe says to say that Shishin Ribbon is a has to do with a city as opposed to Yud Beis Mil, meaning there are people who say Shulchan Aruch says Shishin Rebbe Avram Boy, so they're talking about the city, so Brooklyn or whatever it may be has Shishin Rebbe, so not even we're going to see the Moshe holds there has to be certain amount of people in the Yud Beis Mil to become Rosh Hashanah. I'll get back to that soon. In any case, let's continue on. We'll get to the Flatbush area. We'll clarify this issue. Even though Rav Moshe personally did not support the Manhattan Arab, on the next page of the handout, we have a 1959 Kovitz HaKarbis, where Rav Moshe Bunim Peretinsky cites a letter from Rav Moshe, where he stated that the Rabbanim of Manhattan can pass him as they see fit. This was not published in Igros Moshe. If you see where I underlined, this is a letter that Moshe sent to Moshe ben Bertinsky. He was a famous moel and whatever. So he wrote like this: Shavada yesh tam gedolim lahatir, l'sakim b'menhatir. And further on, I write, I underline, ma'ache shehetamim lehetim merubim. And further, even shehem sovrim lehetim af. Ache shiro mashik safti. They saw my tshuva in Igros Moshe simin kiflamatez. Vaday harishus biyodim lasis kimoi shehem soivim. They have a right to do as they please. And later on, if you see the further on the line, Rav Moshe writes, "Einim moiche, aval einim mitzvah." I'm not moiche, but I'm not going to be mitzvah. Meaning the rabbonim have a right to do as they want. There's another tshuva. Let's turn to the next page, 5, please. And that is printed in Igros Moshe. It's some a little bit different. It's Simen Peites in Igros Moshe Chelek Dalet. And there you see basically the same thing. Moshe says, "I will hook varamati shem yedein limchus biyad malkinim ukeshetikne ariyeh yimutter leizu shittas." There are reasons. Gam heim rabbonim gedolim v'miyibchem b'lehem mekivin shesoyvim l'fi achrosim shiachim l'sakim v'heim roim loyro. They have a right because they're roi to taskin. Aval ni ba'atmi eni yochel l'sayim b'zeh. And then he writes, "Aval rabbonim hasovim sheish l'sakim l'shoyim lasis k'mo shem sovim k'dle'el." Meaning, he disagreed. He felt an heir should not be established, but the rabbonim who established one have a right to, and they he agreed that we can't be moicha.
This is written to Rabbi Leah Young.
That's correct. He was from the Manhattan Jewish Center at that point.
Upper West Side.
Upper West Side. Correct.
We're not talking about a Lower East Side area.
That's what I'm saying. The Amshin of a Rebbe was trying to get support. Amshin of a Rebbe every single week used to call people, the Rabbonim, in the Chassidish Rabbonim, particular. Every single week, I heard this from some people, begging them, do something about an Erev, because we have to be Mezakeh Rabbim. There are people carrying in Manhattan. And one of the things I saw is a big chasorim, and somebody carried, we want to be Mezakeh then. So one of the things is to establish an Erev. This year is not the time for it, but this is really... There are people who hold that an Erev has to be established. Rav Moshe had his shittus. Why not? Why today is different? He's a shittus who goes and that too. Nobody realizes it. People think accept it. Rav Moshe's shittus of the reason why today is different, because today we have our ovens. Used to be in Europe when Shabbos came along, the chul, they didn't have ovens, so they used to go to the baker and they would take the chul to the baker, and Shabbos in the morning they would take it home. So an Erev was a very important thing. And Rav Moshe maintained that that's why in Europe it was so important an Erev. But in truth, we don't see that from any place, but that's the reason why. The Poskim say, because Hetzor is impossible not to be over an Hetzor. People are going to be over by mistake, the Shoigig and so on. And there are those... There are some Chassidish Rebbe's like the Bnei Yisrael held it's a mitzvah to carry whenever possible, because this is one of the things that Chazal say, and Eina Moide is a tzedoki. So there are different levels to this, but it's a whole ball of wax. I don't want to get into that fully now. In any case, let's finish with the Manhattan Erev. However, following the declaration of the establishment of Manhattan Erev in 1962, that Gudrus Rabbonim Ishra Kokoyer opposing the Erev in Manhattan, which are Moshe, with our Moshe signature. If you turn to page 6, the bottom, that Gudrus Rabbonim, I'm sorry, it's small. This is a very rare letter, it's not too common. But if you see the underline, the bottom underline, you see Ramosha's signature, and it's interesting that after Ramosha told the Rabbanim of Manhattan that they could do what they want, so this question begs for an answer. Why, after Ramosha declared that the Rabbanim could do as they see fit, would he go and sign such a strident Kokoyer opposing an Erev? This could cut
10 years in between.
No. In 1952, Toshin Yudbeis, and the Kokoi was Toshin Kopei.
It's really 1 year.
That's correct. The first letter in Hapardus was Toshin Yutes, and Toshin Chafalov, he wrote it to Rabbonim. So it's really a year later, 10 years after his tshuva. But when he told the Rabbonim, the Manhattan Arab started in 1949, and it came to fruition in 1962. It took a long time. There was a lot of issues going on, and because the Moshe was not pro, and there was a lot of fights. Rav Henkin, actually, which is not for this year, was mostly pro-Arab, which people don't realize. He basically did support the Manhattan Arab. But at the end, he didn't want to restore the Machloikis. He tried to keep himself out of it, but he definitely supported the Arab. If you go to... There's a new sefer that came out of on Or Chaim. Right. He played around with the order there, but I'll talk to you another time. Whatever. In any case...
Do most people hold the Manhattan Arab, or it's like same problem?
So, because of the opposition to it, it became a thing that some people carried and some people didn't. It became a big fight, unfortunately. Today, there is an Arab in Manhattan that covers most of Manhattan, besides the Lower East Side, because
which the Washington Heights community, well, perhaps the sector is the Rabbi Masher.
Correct. YU has, and next to that is the Washington Heights area, and Hesher Shechter did. But Hesher Shechter did not follow a Moshe area whatsoever. His line was the Talmudish. He went straight with the Talmudish. In any case, actually, Rav Moshe explains in his Hashmot that the Siman Pei test why he signed on to the Manhattan Kokoyer after all. Because of Rav Aaron Kotler and other Rosh Hashivas of the Gudas Rabbanim. Rav Moshe reiterated the same in his Tshuva regarding the Erech Judan Hills. This is the only explanation that I have of why Rav Moshe would go from agreeing that Rabbanim of Manhattan could do as they see fit, but then sign a Kokoyer that opposed any area that the Rabbanim will establish. If you look in page 7, underline on the left side, Avo Bizman Kotzer, this is an Ashmota, the Simon Pei, it's an addendum to Simon Pei Tes, that is the Tshuva we just saw before, where Moshe said the Rabbanim can do what they want. So it seems like some people were bothered by that. So they went to Moshe, and Moshe, I don't know if this Ashmota is real or not, because there's no other Ashmotas in the Gus Moshe, but we'll accept it at face value. I'm sorry? Addendum. An addendum. If you knew how Rav Moshe worked, he waited for a certain amount of Jews, then he published it. It's very rare. There's no other volume. This is Chelik Vav. No. This is Chelik, the sixth volume, and Or Chaim Dalet. This is the only volume that has an addendum. It's interesting. But we'll work within that... with those parameters. So Rav Moshe wrote here, "Buzman kotzer b'yud ches chesiv in toshin chof beis." Na'esu rabbonim, and this rabbonim b'reshusah kolagon agra kotzer zatzal v'rashi yeshivis. V'idiu b'rabim she'efshe b'shim oif masakin air the Manhattan v'asul a tulpul af acher kolat tekunim she'asu v'she'asu aizer rabbonim. It's very interesting. Turn to the next page, please. Exactly.
No matter what, if you put a gloss on
every. But Rav Moshe was quoting the Kol Koyre, which we'll get back to in a second, because he left out something very interesting. And then on the next page, the ain't doy meklal le New York. Shaloi hoye ze v'retzoyne goin rabban zatzal. V'oy gedoy le koyre megidu sarabonim. It's almost like Rav Moshe saying, "What do you want from me?" Rav Moshe Feinstein.
It's not my
call. It's not, and Rav Aaron Kotler and other Rosh Hashivas didn't want it. In truth, I just reminded myself that Rabbi Blam once told me that he was called down. He was a rabbi of the Jewish Center, I believe, at that point in Manhattan. And he was called down by Rav Aaron Kotler and to the Agudas Rabbanim meeting. And there was a lot going on. He asked him a lot of questions, but Rav Aaron got very animated about why are you doing it and so on. So he said, "Kletzker Rov," he says, "isn't a Rov do? You're a Rov here in Manhattan." So he says, no. He says, well, I am, and my kehila demands an Erev. I have to do it. Avraham was quiet. And he says, let's talk about it. And that there's more to that story, not for now, but at the end of the day, they declared the Erev in Tavshichov Beis. And Agudas HaRabbonim, 6 weeks later, came out with a Kol Koyre. It's awesome. And that was it. It sort of put the nail in the coffin. The Erev, some people carried, but very few. A lot of money was expended on this, and a lot of Rabbonim. There was one Rav, the Shatzer Rav, who worked together with Nachum Kasher. I'm sure Rav Mendel Kasher, like many of you heard, from Torah Shleimer. And he didn't have children after the war, so he wanted to do something, a Zikriya Rabbi, that was to establish an Erev in Manhattan. And if Tuvia told me this, that was his reason. He wrote a sefer on there in Manhattan. Moshe gave him a beautiful askama. You almost don't see such askamas from Moshe, talking about his learning. You know, he was a Talmud Chochem and so on. And whatever, it was very personal to him, and he was very broken after this because they really never took off. However, following the declaration, oh, I'm sorry, I said that already. I spoke about the Hashmata, the Siman Pei Tes, and there we see why Rav Moshe signed, because of Aaron Kotler. I want to just point out, it's noteworthy, let's turn to back to page 6. The top of page 6 is the Manhattan Kol Koyre that was given out supporting the aid. The bottom one is the Kol Koyre from Agudas HaRabbonim opposing the aid. The last line of that Kol Koyre, it says, the Kol Mi Sheyismach Al Erev in Manhattan Yechshiv LaMechal Shabbos. A fascinating thing. If you go to the next page 7, where Moshe is quoting this exact Kol Koyre, Abu Bazman Kotzu, you see where I underline, he says, and he leaves out the last line that if you see before, this is the exact quote, the exact text Rav Moshe copied, and he left out the last line. I believe Rav Moshe was uncomfortable with it. It's very strident and very strong, and Rav Moshe didn't want to. And I don't think Rav Moshe ever would ever wanted to sign such a Kol Koyre. It was not Rav Moshe. Anybody who knew who Rav Moshe was. He was not a fighter. Rav Moshe. And Rav Moshe didn't sign Kol Koyres when he wrote a tshuva as well. I heard this from Talmidim who didn't realize what they were telling me.
He had to be under tremendous pressure that if you read all his tshuvas, he always writes, you still have to respect the other side.
Rav Moshe was one of the most unique people, besides his godless entire, which is astounding. I mean, Erevin is such a complicated issue. There are very few people who wrote a tshuva like Simon Kiflametes. The other tshuvas, all right, they're smaller, but Simon Kiflametes showed a mastery to a Manhattan tshuva, the first Manhattan tshuva. Simon Kiflametes and Kiflametes, they were written in a day or two. A mastery of a subject that's a mitzvah. Very few people actually know it even that well. But a Moshe had chedushim that were very interesting. And he admitted that they were interesting. And the fact that the world is required to follow these chedushim, and that all the precedent for hundreds of years was not like that, and if you dare step out of line, you're, I don't know what they'll call you, Machal Shabbos is nice, It doesn't make any sense.
Well, Rashi would never say that.
And Rashi definitely would not ever say that.
There are people you can rely on. So, you know,
most definitely. You should know that it works. Rav Moshe, I always say, Rav Moshe was a poisik. He was not a Rebbe. He wrote what he had to say. If he doesn't say it, I have a right to say that Rav Moshe would agree. He's not a Rebbe where I could start saying, oh, maybe he meant this. He wrote what he had to say. When people start telling me, oh, there's a Torah about Peh with Rav Moshe, I'm sorry. He wrote. He was a great writer. He wrote so much. I see everything is written. Don't fakoyf me. Don't sell me other things.
But he also signed that letter.
He signed the letter. No question.
But under pressure.
No, no. You signed the letter. He definitely was not pro. Was he? Did he figure that somebody who was following their role, did he maintain that somebody following their role was Michal Shabbos? I don't think so. But there's no question that he signed it. I can't deny it. There are some people who say it's not true. He did not sign it. But that would mean that I have to say this Hashmata is also a lie, because he does quote it. So this Hashmata, I don't really know what's going on here. I'm accepting it at face value. In any case, but I'll show you something very fascinating. This is from the first time it's been publicized. And that'll answer your question, but he did sign the letter. Moreover, in the last letter that Ramosha wrote regarding the Manhattan Erev, or Erevin period, which was in 1985 to Rabbi Berman in the Lincoln Square Synagogue, he wrote that unfortunately, he was not well enough to immerse himself in the Indian. However, Ramosha continued that regarding Hashim and Ida, he does not have to follow my shittas, he can do as he sees fit. What happened was Hashim and Rabbi Berman, people were using the Lincoln Square Synagogue's Erev, and it seemed like there was some need to update it. So they asked him, he sent a letter to Ramosha, and he asked Ramosha, could he do it because people, rectify it because people anyway carry it? So Ramosha wrote back, I'm too weak to get involved at this point. 1985 was a year before he was Nifta. And your second question was, can Avshim and Ida help us with this new area? Rav Moshe answered, Shimon Aida, I think we should see inside what he says. Rav Shimon Aida shlita marirashu lanoi kefi ritzoinoi v'duva ha-sidir sa-erivin ein ha-shliach sheli l'sakin ha-erivin v'ein ha-meshubit leilich rak l'mekoy m'sheni ba'atmi hoi maskum l'asas erivin. Basically he said, Rav Shimon Aida is not mechir to follow me. He has a right to do whatever he wants. So I don't understand. If the Kol Koyre was signed by Ramosha, how could he write such a letter? Alright. A Kol Koyre that says that the people who are carrying on Michal Shabbos, Ramosha should have protested.
No, look, Gabe here. He said that would be my shita. He the man. But
that's not what he's saying, my shita is. He's saying the shittas of the Gudas Rabbonim, the Aaron, of the Rosh Hashivas, that is an established shita. Finished. Not only that, at least protest. At least say, listen, I'm against it. The Gudas Rabbonim came out against it. Hashim and Haida, I can't tell him what to do, but he really shouldn't do it. Basically, I believe this proves that the Moshe maintained an Erev can be established. The Rabbonim have a right to do it. I'm against it. What the Gudas Rabbonim did and so on, that's their problem, not mine. I'm not so strident like they were. There's a lot to be said about the whole Kol Koyre. Skokoya never really came out. It was a whole, it's a person who got it out of, who sort of worked on it for years till the Gudas Rabbonim gave it out. It wasn't so simple. They didn't want to give it out. It's not so, I'm not sure what happened over there. Nobody's really clear.
This letter to Rabbi Berman was never included in
any of the Nigger's. It's not Nigger's.
That itself it speaks volumes, does it not?
Correct. I would say that. Why? Because many of the 1974 many letters. The letter to Rabbi Yom that we said, where Moshe said the Rabbanim can do as they please, is also a letter. It's not a tshuva. So why this shouldn't be included? Moshe didn't always include in his tshuvas just tshuvas. Many Rabbonim in history included letters as well, especially if it pertains to halachic, right, it has halachic ramifications. Exactly. I'm sorry?
Are there letters or truths from 1985?
I showed you Rabbi Pertinsky's letter that was published in Apparatus that wasn't either published in Igus Moshe. I don't know if there's anything so. I just, whatever. There is something more that we have played around with something about Erevin. And I'll later at the end of the year, I'll talk about it. Mark Shapiro, including his new book. Yeah. We'll get to that. A lazy cat can figure that out easily. I have to speak to him. Why? Then he should be one of ours then. All right. In any case. I just feel Ramosha did not have an issue with Rabbanim being involved with Erev Manhattan even after he signed the Manhattan Kokoyim. So in summation, this is about Manhattan, Ramosha, while personally opposed to the establishment of the Manhattan Erev, allowed that other Rabbanim do not have to follow his opinion. I think we could all agree on that. There's no reason why otherwise. With this background in place, we can now tackle the Flatbush Erev.
Yeah. Couldn't you separate the idea of being allowed to have an Erev and the making of the Erev properly? So he's saying, listen, Rosh Hashanah could do it because if you're going to hold of it, it should be done properly. Whether or not it's allowed within the area that you're making it, that's a separate question.
That's a good question. That's a good argument. But I would say the fact that Rosh Hashanah is a Talmud of his, while he may not be Meshuggah, Rav Moshe at the bare minimum should have been Moicha and said, listen, Agudas Rabbanim is against this. This is not something that I have to think about. Rav Moshe said, I have to think about. You're telling me there's a problem and people are carrying, so we have to think about what to do. I don't understand. People were carrying in 1962 after they made the Erev. Those 6 weeks from the time they made the Erev till Agudas Rabbanim came out against the Erev, people were still carrying. So, maybe should have separated it then as well. But it's a good point, but I don't think, at the end of the day, Rav Moshe was not Moicha. He said, go ahead, call Rav Shimonaita, if he wants to do it, he's not Meshibit to me. I think it shows Rav Moshe was not so, again, if you know Rav Moshe, it was not like Rav Moshe to be so strident. And those who say Rav Moshe was so, there's all kinds of stories, Rav Moshe threw down a book, they're lies. Rav Moshe would never. It's making fun of Rav Moshe. It's not Rav Moshe. That was
what
not.
His sons. What did his sons? Do they have a position in
this? This became an Indian of COVID of Rav Moshe. And that's a big problem. Once you get into that area of COVID, then the sons have to stick up for it. Dr. Sprecher brought a pamphlet here, which is a letter from. I did not want to get into it, but you bring it up. There's a michta from Rav David Feinstein. It's very fascinating what Rav David says. Rav David basically is claiming in this letter that the people behind, I'm jumping the gun because I really want to get to the Flatbush Erev, but I'll pause here and I'll say this. That the people who are making the Erev are saying that my father would allow an Erev in Flatbush. And he says that is false. In truth, no one ever, I don't know anyone who was involved in the Flatbush Erev said that Rav Moshe would have allowed, I apologize, would have allowed, that's talking about 1978-79 when Rav Moshe wrote his truths about Manhattan. What people said is that in the existing conditions of how the Erev was built, Rav Moshe wouldn't have anything against it. That is the truth. So I don't know what Rav David's talking about. I really don't understand it. I know what happened. The same way we'll see they told Rav Moshe certain things that are factually incorrect. They told Rav David this. They told Rav David that people are going around saying that in 1978, they're saying your father would have allowed your father would have allowed. It's not true. Nobody ever said that. I never heard that. And then he says something else here about Flatbush and Savarians. That's maybe we'll get to explain what he's trying to bavurn over here. There's something he means over here. But in any case, regarding Brooklyn, the Flatbush Erev, Rav Moshe at first stated that there never was any talk of actually erecting an Erev in Brooklyn. Moreover, Rav Moshe argued that an Erev in Brooklyn was inferior to Manhattan, since unlike Manhattan, Brooklyn was not encompassed by mechitzas. Therefore, the only heter for an Erev was the criterion of Shishin Ribli. Since Borough Park and Flatbush encompass more than Shishin Ribli, he declared that an Erev can't be established in these neighborhoods. This is the first thing, this hashmata, back to page 10. Well, not fact, I included another one in here with different underlinings. In this Hashmata, we see that, as I said previously, that some people didn't like the fact that Rav Moshe wrote that in Manhattan, the Rabbonim can do as they please. Some people must have told him, but people are going to say in Brooklyn they can do as they please as well. This Hashmata is prior, there's no date on it. It has to be prior to any tshuva written. It was written between the years of Tov Shin Lamed Aleph, that's the Kew Garden Hills Erev, which he mentions in this Hashmata, that's 1974, and 1978, which is the first tshuva on Flatbush. So between those 4 years, somebody got wind of that the Rabbanim of Flatbush wanted to establish an Eruv. They went running to Rav Moshe and told him, people want to make an Eruv. So Rav Moshe said, that I said in Manhattan, that the Rabbanim can do as they please, even though I oppose it, that's only in Manhattan. But Brooklyn is, there's no mechitzas. Manhattan had mechitzas. I had problems with mechitzas, but there I hear there's a good reason why you're allowed to make it. But Brooklyn, the only het is Shishim Ribui, that there's no Shishim Ribui on the Rechoivis. So if that's the case, I hold the Shishim Ribui has to do with Yud Beis Mill, an area of Yud Beis Mill. So Moshe said, you can't. There was no medibber about it. Nobody ever did it. So there's no, if you see in the Shmot, that underline on page 10, clearly, Ramosha, somebody told Ramosha that something's going on, and Ramosha said, I don't allow it. That's if the Shmot is true. But as I said, we're going with that assumption at this point. In any case, however, in 1978, a delegation of Rabbonim, Rabbi Sharfman and Rabbi Shraya, came to Ramosha and actually spoke to him about establishing an Eruv in Flatbush. Just want to say an interesting thing. Rabbi Bamza told me that he was also part of this delegation. He told me an interesting story that he asked his Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik, about making an Eruv in Flatbush. And everybody knows that the Reshi Be'er was pretty opposed to Eruv, and that had a lot to do with the Briske, or I should say the Mishkan Siyantiv, and so on. That gazer, that group. And he said, Yosha Bear answered him, you're Moira, you have a right to do. He said, yeah, but Rebbe, you're not pro-Eruv. He said, what? Brookline is not Brooklyn. Two separate things. Brookline is not Brooklyn. In any case, the Moshe told these Rabbonim that he didn't want to join them in this matter because there are many opinions on this topic, as we see in the Shulchan Aruch. Only when some people misunderstood these words as somehow supporting the Eruv did the Moshe feel that there was a need to clarify his personal approach regarding the issue. Meaning, when people came to the Moshe and told the Moshe an Eruv is being made, some people are talking about making an Eruv, the Moshe can't. No, that's not the Manhattan is different than Brooklyn. But when Rabbonim actually came to the Moshe in 1978, we turn to page 11, and we see, they went to Ramosha and told Ramosha, I would like to make an Eruv in Flatbush. What did Ramosha say? Kishayayayti Rabbonim HaChashuvim, Harav HaGoyim, Sharfman Shliter, Shraya, V'davatikin Eruv in Flatbush, V'mati She'ein Erotz L'sarav B'zeh, K'irei Kama Shita Zikub Perish Ma, Zeresh Yisraavim, Perish Dalsas Nilis, V'zifrei Yashuchin Orich Metzuyim. I don't want to be involved because, meaning, do what you want to do. Keep me out of it. You want to do it? Do it. I can't help. You know, I'm not. I was never pro. Basically, that's what he's saying. You want to do it? You can do it. Do what you want. So much so that Rabamza told me that Rav Moshe even showed them how to build certain sort of psochem. You remember that story? Over a ramp, over the ramps, the highway ramps. It was some technical problems, and they figured that by Rav Moshe, even though he didn't want to get involved, might as well make use of it. And they asked him some shailas, and he told them how to actually build it to Rav Sabzacha.
Did they do it?
They did do it. But look what happened afterwards. Rav Moshe continues, and this is why he wrote the Shuvah. He's giving you the history of why he wrote the Shuvah. Ava ma'acha shiyatza kol sha'niyu amata ba'etzim mitzad lochin zeh sha'amati. What happened was, there's no one to blame, but this is probably what happened. People went around saying that Moshe had no problem. Moshe told him, I don't want to be involved. And somehow got out, and Moshe had no problem with it. So Moshe said, that already I got to do something about. I got to tell you I'm against it, and I have to tell you what my reasons are. But it's very important to note that Rav Moshe was not looking to be involved in the issue to begin with. If the Rabbonim wanted to make it, he didn't want to. And the truth is, in Manhattan, that's what happened as well. Rav Eisenstein, if you look at the beginning of Simon Kiflam Tes, Rav Eisenstein asked him, Kiflam Tes, and Lamed Tes. Basically, Rav Eisenstein, who was the main, was the first man involved, the first Rav involved in the Manhattan, also asked Rav Moshe, what's your day? What do you hold? Rav Moshe, I'm not pro. And Moshe was not going to come out against the Eruv of Manhattan. He told Rabbanim, do what they want. They did what they wanted. But the goodness of Rabbanim had a different idea. It was the same thing in Flatbush. People came running. No, no, I'm against it. And I don't even see how you can make it. These Rabbanim came, Rav Shrai and Rav Sharfman. All right, do it. Keep me out of it. I don't want to be involved. Once, though, the Shmua got out that Moshe himself was possibly behind the Eruv. No, 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 no. That already, he had to clarify. And that's what he's saying in this tshuva. So, Rav Moshe wrote these two tshuvas clarifying his opinion. This is Siman Pei Zayin, that's this one we're open to on page 11, in 1978. And a year later, Siman Pei Ches. At this point, Rav Moshe introduced an additional chiddush. What they argued was that Manhattan had mefitzes. You're going to soon see that we have mefitzes as well. And there's no difference. That's what they said.
But what's the shishizuva you basically?
Because the Moshe said that Manhattan had mefitzes, so notwithstanding the shishim ribui in Manhattan, it didn't make a difference because with mechitzes, it's a shishar yachid with the raisa. On the other hand, Brooklyn without mechitzes, so what is the heter? We have to see. Is shishim ribui? No, a good base mill, you're asking shishim ribui. So we have a problem with Brooklyn. That's what Moshe said in the Ashmata, in the addendum there. Here he's going to introduce another thing. In Manhattan, because shishim ribui was not so it wasn't so important because they had the mechitzes. So he didn't fully, we're going to see that the Shishim Ribui evolved over time, his shittah in Shishim Ribui. What it is, what the criterion encompassed, what it meant, he sort of evolved over time, and I'm going to try to demonstrate that with the different Jewish here.
What mechitzes there are, I really have not seen a wall around Manhattan. What do you mean?
All right.
It's an island.
Manhattan is an island.
The water. You're saying the water is
not the water. Everything listen,
what
is the 1905 mechitza, meaning the first area in Manhattan was using mechitza b'day shemai, meaning if an area is mislaket, meaning if the gradient is correct, it's considered a mechitza. But the later the 1962 era was actually using mechitzim nei adam, meaning the Army Corps of Engineers builds up all cities that are next to the water as much as possible because they don't want to get flooded. Well, we see how much, except for Hurricane Sandy. Brooklyn and Manhattan, mostly, as long as it's Oy Meruba Laparet, it's mostly built up. La Locha, that's called the mechitza. Most of the Manhattan is mostly built up. It's 10 tvachim, the waterfront. It has to be about 40 inches above
the level. I don't understand.
It has to be about 40 inches above. There's a lot on that, and I don't think this year is for how far down you can go. Some hold, I mean, Myra of Official Hershkovitz, Ozangazin, he told me, it's like, inside the water, there's it's mislaket. It's also good. He was a big makel in here. No, it's a big machloik, it's a poskin. It's not so posh. There's a chayodim, there's a lot of poskin to talk about it. I'll be pashtus, you definitely can rely on it. I mean, does anybody understand mechitzes? I mean, if you have two mechitzes, Da'izeruah, one of the biggest rishonim of Ashkenaz, who we're Soymechan, does anybody understand why two mechitzes he holds is a shisayachid mederaisa? Normally you'd say it has to be three mechitzes, it has to enclose something. There's a shittas rishonim like that, and it's not only shittas rishonim of one rishon. Official has told me there's two other rishonim that nobody else knows about. I don't know if you ever heard of this. He says there's an amak, and there's the izeruah son, the amak izeruah, the chama izeruah. He says so it's three shittas. So I said to him, I don't understand. But a son and a father. He says one, the Torah and the Rosh is not 2 days. This is also 2 days. In any case. They're saying that not because they know. They're saying it because that's the way they believe. It's always nice in your backyard. There's certain abonim from different areas that came and mixed into this machloikis. And in their backyard, they have an air. So, you know, it's very nice of them to come and debate the Brooklyn area, Brooklyn Irving, and then in their own backyard they have one. Yeah, your kill is not going to fight with you about Irving because you have one. But excuse me, and that's exactly what Rabbi Lamb told me, what he told Rabbi Aaron. I need it. Why are you arguing with me? I need it. My killer demands it. So what am I supposed to do? He says, not only demand it, they need it because they were carrying without an air. He wants the Rimazaka then. There's more on that, but I think this year is going to go on forever. In any case, so at first the Moshe posits that maybe it would be sufficient if there were 600,000 people living in community into the area to classify it as a Rishus Aram. Some people today want to say, when Shulchan Aruch says Shishanim Ba'avinboy B'chol Yom, they mean a city. Brooklyn has 600,000 people, much more, that's enough. The Moshe at first wanted to say that, meaning in Manhattan, because as I said previously, Manhattan was not so negeya, was not so important, the issue of Shishanim, because it had mechitzas. He just said the chiddush of Yud Beis Mil. When it came to the actual number, he started talking about it, and it looks like in Manhattan, that's what he probably thought, that 600,000 people living in a city is enough. However, Ramoshe wrote that since in the past, Erevin had been erected in cities with populations exceeding Shishim Rebuy, one cannot classify a city as a Shishim solely on the basis of a population of 600,000 people, meaning the minig was not like that. There were cities that had Shishim Rebuy, so I can't say such a thing. I can't say that another thing, Shishim Rebuy is enough. We have Shishim Rebuy in a year, it's enough.
We would have to acknowledge that the Rabbanim in Warsaw made an error, Rabbanim in Paris made an error.
Lodge and Paris, they never fully, they wanted to, but the war broke out, so it was too late. Where else? You have Warsaw, Lodge, Odessa, which almost had Shishim Rebuy, but they worked on the assumption that it had Shishim Rebuy, and they nevertheless felt that you're allowed to make one there. But in any case, Moshe definitely felt that you can't say 600,000. And you're going to hear people say that 600,000 people is what Shishim Rebuy, the criterion of Shishim Rebuy, applies to. A city that has 600,000 people.
Yerushalayim would be an issue also.
Most definitely. The Gush Dan has a few million people. So Yerushalayim...
If you don't care, Yerushalayim.
Brisk? Yeah. We're not talking about Brisk. Brisk. I don't think here many people are worried. I mean, I tell you the truth, I've told the Brisk, I'm going off on tangent here, but I once told the Brisk that the Barapak and Flappish Irving, even a Brisk could carry. He wanted to kill me. What do you mean? It's us, sir. You're telling me a reason why it's mutter, that it's sir. We'll talk later while your things are schnissen. For short, whatever you're saying is stupidity. Basically, there's a few things. Shishim Rebuy really doesn't play that much. Of course, they machma Shishim Rebuy, but not when you have mechitzas. But they hold that there has to be a Rambam. That's every pen to the top. But we have a Rambam here, and that's what they don't know. The Shulchan Aruch says we have a Rambam here. People don't realize if you have Oy Merubah on two sides, you have a Rambam here. People don't realize the Flatbush area, which consists of Oy Merubah of either Batim or around Brooklyn, on three sides or four sides, is definitely considered a Rambam area. So a brisket could carry here. But don't tell it to him. In the middle of the week, definitely maybe have a gun and it'll kill you. Yahari Vel Yavar. I'm sorry? You can tell him, because you have time from whatever shit until 90 minutes, you have time to tell him. Yeah. In any case. So, Ramosha then suggested that it would take 4 to 5 times 600,000 people living in communion into the 12 mil by 12 area to classify an area as Rishus Aram. That is, Ramosha came up with this idea that since it can't be 600,000 people, so then it must be, well, the whole Diglamid by the Yud Beis Mil had 4 to 5 times Shishim Rebuy in it. And in order for there to be 600,000 people bucking the Rechoyves Ha'ir, traversing the streets of the Yud Beis Mil in the Degolei HaMidbar, which was considered Rishus Rabim, according to Ramosha, it's a big Machlokes Rishonim, most of Shoshonim hold only Machne Leviyah, but Ramosha wanted to say the whole Yud Beis Mil, Machne Yisroel, was Rishus Rabim, and you had here 4 to 5 times Shishim Rebuy, meaning Shishim Rebuy was from 20 to 60. You had kids, you had Noshim Vataf, you had the older people. He made a cheshbon, there was 4 to 5 times. So in other words, if you have 4 to 5 times Shishim Rebuy living or coming into the city, then you would have shishim riboy bakim berchoyva seir in that whole area, and that would make it a rishus aram. You can see that in 12 and 11, I underline. Va'av shenestap kisham de ule sage b'yesh b'yasamach ribay b'yachad in amitzom b'habatim. Yoisim estaver de'ein lach sheklal b'chlal asamach ribay el elam tzom b'chutzay estaver b'hu b'midah. At the end he says, shelchem ekim eshenim tzikrochim gedoyim detiknu b'hem erivin mashma shekilu b'zeh. Now if you turn back to page 11, you see he explains on the left side. Im nimtzu sach inchi sham harba kolkach shenimtzu b'chol rechoyves de'elu ha'yud b'ez mil samach ribay hu rishu saram gemura af lamatzichin samach ribay. Menahagin Kamoisa, by the way, he's saying that we fear Zach Shishim Reboy. Ve'ulai echad me'arpo, oi echad mechamisha inche, nimtzu berechoyres, shesach kezeh haya b'midbar. He's saying this 4 to 5 times the amount that was in the midbar, that would be a din of Rishu Saraf. However, in the final two tshuvas regarding Erevin, which follow, we see that the Moshe codified his chiddush. This was a work in action. That in order to classify an era as a shisarabim, the requirement was more like 5 times shishim libun, 3 million people. You turn to page 8. If you turn 1 second, and also I'm going to show you Rav David Feinstein was in agreement that his father's shita was regarding shishim libun, 3 million people. Page 13, if you can please turn to, on the right side, Umavar Shisha also Shamaivin Rach Godl, you do a Khashivis Krachim Doin Shabruslan Mapoilin, Loyaba Samachribi Khoivis, Shihurakbi Ishidoramba, Erich Korov, Lushlaishis Million Nafashis. On the next page, on 14, I'll explain it. If you see the underline here. This is a tshuva to Detroit. So he says, "Shusaram is only the Hushayich Rak Kishoy Toishvei Ima Avrim V'Shavim V'Mekoyim Asachem L'Chol Apoches Chamisha Pam Samach Ribui." The Hu Erech Shlosh Million. So Rav Moshe was basically saying that it was a work in progress. Originally in Manhattan, all right, maybe 600,000 Yud Beis Mil. Then he said in Flatbush, the first tshuva in Flatbush, Simon Pezayin, or Pechez, not Pezayin, I apologize. He said it can't be because they made Erevin in areas that had Shishim Rebbe. It's cities that had Shishim Rebbe. So he said it's 4 to 5 times Shishim Rebbe. That wasn't the encampment. He came up with a chiddush that's what the Digle Amidva was. That amount of people. That's also a machloekes. It probably was much more than 4 to 5 times according to the Midrashim, but that's what the Moshe held. In his final two tshuvas, when he spoke about the numbers, he said that it has to be around 3 million. We turn to the next page, for 15. This is a page 23 from the West Roger Park Air booklet. I underline. However, according to his son, Rav David Feinstein Shlita, since there are fewer than 3 million people within any area 9 by 9 miles, immediately adjacent to the West Roger Park, his father would allow it. 3 million people, Rav David's saying. The 9 by 9 is, in my opinion, they don't know the Moshe Shitta in Shir Amma, what a mill is. It's less than 9. It's 8.1 by 8.1. Unless they want to go a brisk thing according to the Moshe.
I mean, the footnote says 8.1 by 8.1.
I know, right. You're right. And then there it says... most populous 9 by 9 immediately.
Yeah, but according to the 2.5 million, then Chicago would not be permitted.
Chicago would not be permitted at just as Brooklyn. There's no difference between Chicago and Brooklyn.
They have an actual number, 2.5 to 2.8 million.
To 2.8. So exactly. So there's no reason why, according to Moshe. So that letter from is very questionable. He doesn't really know exactly, but I don't know if it means that much. Anyway. However, now this is even more interesting. Even though Rav Moshe clarified that he was of the opinion that an Erev can't be established in Flatbush, because he says, I have to be mevar why I hold. He said the Rabbanim came to him. I didn't want to tell them. I didn't want to get involved. Then somebody gave out a shmua. I'm behind the Eruv. No, I have to be mevayer. I'm against it. Why am I against it? Because four to five, or five times, Shishim Ribui, and he says Brooklyn definitely had that, and we cannot make an Eruv in Brooklyn, in Flatbush, or any part of Brooklyn. So, what's interesting is that even after all of this, the Moshe said that he was, even though he was of the opinion that an Eruv can't be established in Flatbush, he declined. This is the only time in Igus Moshe to issue a Psak Din Bor, since, as he acknowledged, his Chiddush was not mentioned in the Achroinim, and moreover, the Aruch HaShulchan would not agree with him. And that's probably what Rabbam's story was, that Rav Moshe even helped him, because Rav Moshe admitted that this is a Chiddush. There are two Chiddushim here. One is the Yud Beis Mil, and the other is the five times Shishim Rebbe. The Pashtus, as Rav Moshe understood, I said in the by the Manhattan area, is that Shishim Rebbe applies to Rechoy. It's a Doichik, Rav Moshe said, that applies to Aniyah. But Rav Moshe still went with, he had a way of working it into the Shulchan Aruch, and that's it. Turn, if you can, please, to page 16. You're probably still on 16. And look at the underline on the right side. This is the Simon Pezayin. This is the same tshuva where he said to Rav Shraya and Shachman, I don't want to get involved. He says, but now that I have to get involved, because people were saying that I... he says, I'm against it. And the second side, and the left side, but he never issued a psak din bor. People don't, unless you want to come with a kolkoyer in 1978 or 79, Flatbush kolkoyer. I don't accept kolkoyers. That kolkoyer is full of steers and so on. Rav Moshe wrote a tshuva. He said, I cannot give a psak din bor about Flatbush, because it's a chiddush at the Aruch HaShulchan. By the way, it's so fascinating. The Aruch HaShulchan. We know what Rav Moshe held about the Aruch HaShulchan. His sons have said it, even over the Mishnah Berurah. It's very, very interesting. But in any case, we see that Rav Moshe didn't want to issue a psak din bor because of that. I just want to mention something a little further. It is interesting to note that Rav Moshe was told by the Rabbanim of Flatbush that the population of Brooklyn was less than 3 million over a 12 mil by 12 mil area. Rav Moshe then added to his chiddush, which I guess we can call a gezeira, and said that despite this, an area should not be constructed, since in large cities, one may think that there is Shishim Ribui over 12 mil by 12 mil area. Rav Moshe said that, all right, you're telling me, it seems like what happened was, and I'll tell you in a minute exactly what happened, because I know how Rav Moshe heard this. But Rav Moshe finished off. However, following this, Rav Moshe was told that the population of Brooklyn is close to 3 million, and approximately 1 million people come to visit and work. Therefore, Rav Moshe declared that even without his gezeirah, according to his opinion, an Eruv can't be established. So, Rav Moshe basically said that, if you turn to the next page,
I googled it, by the way. It said that the population of Brooklyn is 5 million.
Right. We'll get to that in a minute. Thank you.
What about the several million undocumented?
Oh, right, I know. But Rav Moshe allowed in Queens...
Everywhere you walk, you run into
right,
undocumented...
Right, right. According to them, one...
Yeah.
I asked somebody, had a debate with, I said, so interesting, only in Brooklyn there's so many millions of undocumented aliens
here. So undocumented,
but what about right, but what about Kew Garden Hills, where Rav Moshe allowed? Queens doesn't have any undocumented?
Right.
Why don't
Queens
you?
Queens
oh,
man.
I believe so.
Yeah.
It's shaking. This is called adding to Rav Moshe's chedushim. Rav Moshe never said that. Rav Moshe never went that. And if Rav Moshe didn't say it, he admits it's a chiddush. How? What right does anybody have to extend his chiddush to add to it and say, oh, but there may be undocumented aliens. Oh, but there may be the census is not correct. How many people? This is what it is. Please.
Undocumented. Wait, are you saying that undocumented people aren't considered as part of the 3 million?
They will, but you're telling me that one out of every six people you see is undocumented?
I'm just saying.
All right, so here's my...
We're still under three, and we continue.
We'll get to that in a second. I just want to point this very fascinating thing out. If you go to page 17 and 18.
The census, you don't need to be... you don't need to show your passport. When the census taker comes and rings your bell, the census taker does not ask, are you a citizen? Right. Are you, where are your papers?
I was at home when they came. So
okay.
That's a different thing.
But there are criteria.
You're undocumented?
And he counts two people.
The census taker...
Go back to Mexico.
One of our presidential candidates are. You can join him. I mean, he's busy with it.
Yeah.
Any case, if you turn to page 17, I'm not going to read it, but basically, what the Moshe is saying, you see in the underline, he's saying that somebody told me that there was no 3 million, meaning, and Moshe said, all right, there has to be 4 to 5, and then it's Mashmi, he wants to set 3 million. So he says, but Brooklyn has that. So Moshe says that in Simet Peches, the next tshuva, after he wrote it, Simet Pei Zayin was Toshin Lamed Zayin, Lamed Ches, and Toshin Lamed Tes. So 1 year later, he wrote another tshuva. And what happened in between was that people... And the person was the Mujayirov, he told me this. He sent Ramosha a letter from the district, from the community board. The community board where Noach Bia at that time was district manager, community board 12. I have the papers in my house where he actually laid out Brooklyn on a grid and figured out exactly how many people live in Brooklyn and what is the 12 mil of Brooklyn, and so on. That's what the Moshe is referring to. They sent to the Moshe that there are less than 3 million people in the Yudbais mil, quite a bit less. So even according to you, there shouldn't be a problem. So the Moshe said, I still think you shouldn't make an error. Why? Because people are going to think that it has Shishim Ribri, meaning 3 million over that area, which is an added... Chiddush to his Chiddush, which is interesting. But then he asked... I'm sorry?
He had Google.
Yeah, but in any case, Moshe did finish off that. Now somebody tells me that's what was sent to me is incorrect. And I'm saying it this way because I know who sent it and I have the paperwork in my house. Basically, the Moshe said that somebody told me that no, there's close to 3 million people living in Brooklyn and over a million people coming to work. We'll get to that soon. It's all lies. The person who told that to the Moshe lied. We'll get to that in a minute.
Is that what the Bar Park Erev relies on?
The Bar Park Erev relies on many things. There's no Shishim Ribri. We're going to follow the Moshe. I'm working within the Moshe because, Flatbush definitely should work with it. Bar Park, some people don't care, but I care. And I'm involved in it. And I did study the Moshe's Shuvas, and I did want to work in those parameters, but we have 7 keepses. There's a third thing, besides me, I'm going to get to Mechita soon. There's a third thing. I don't want to get into it. There's a third thing, according to the Moshe. It's very complicated and it's too time consuming. I don't want to do it now. Maybe another time we'll get to it. But in any case, to sum up the criterion of Shishim Ribri according to the Moshe, as it applies to Brooklyn area, the Moshe wrote that Brooklyn was larger than 12 mil by 12 mil. Now I'm going to summarize. Brooklyn is at least 71 square miles without the inland water, which I think should also be included in the tally and therefore should make it even larger. With inland water, it's definitely larger, but it's very difficult to know what's inland water and so on. And Moshe is very unclear how you reckon the Yud Beis Mil from where you stand. Is it a square or it's just continuous? It's very difficult, but one thing is for sure. 12 mil by 12 mil is approximately 65 square miles, or 8.1 times 8.1, it's a 64, 65, whatever. According to the Moshe Shir Amin Regards to Shabbos, it's 21.4 21.5 inches to the amma. You have 2,000 ammas, whatever, you can do the math. It's 2,000 ammas times 12 times, divide by 12, you get about 65 square miles. It's 5,280 feet to the mile. It comes out around 65 square, if you double that, yeah, if you times it. Consequently, there's no doubt that Brooklyn is larger than 12 mil by 12 mil. The total, and Ramosh admits this in two places. There was something about, what's his name? I called it, what's it, that doctor, mathematician, whatever. He was saying that Ramosh wrote in the street, there's two places. Brooklyn is a little bigger than the base mill. So the total population of Brooklyn is about 2.6 million, of which we can deduct at least 200,000 people, because it's bigger than the basement. Since Brooklyn land is greater, the area is greater than 12 mil by 12 mil. This leaves us with a population of nearly 2.4 million people. However, according to the census, at least 200,000 people come into work, but a lot more people leave Brooklyn than come into Brooklyn. So consequently, even if you want to say it is 2.6 million, there's no doubt that Brooklyn does not have a population of 3 million. And there's no reason why, according to our motion, it can't be established in Flatbush, according just to this simple logic.
The real terminology has to be used is population density, right? You need 3 million within 65 square miles.
That's right. Correct.
That's really what we need.
Right.
And those numbers aren't there.
The numbers are not there. If I were, I've had an argument with people and said, no, so continue on to Queens. I said, you're not getting it. Brooklyn is bigger than Yud Bay's Mill, so I'm not including Queens. And you know what? I'd love to include Queens. That's less density. It's less than
city. Once you factor in all that land, then you're
exactly. Decreasing the population. And more so. And I'm not going to get too much into it. There's a very, very big question of why Ramosh allowed in Queens. At least for this gazeta, that it looks like a big city. You know, even though there's no 3 million there, why didn't Ramosh say Queens is a no problem?
Because of the post office.
Ah. So, what Dr. Sprech is talking about is, this is another thing where people come up with chedushim in Ramosh. That, oh, the reason is because when you send a letter in Queens, you write Kew Garden Hills. As opposed to Brooklyn, you don't write Flatbush, you write Brooklyn. Ramosh says, Yud Beis Mill, or Yud Beis Mill. Any part of that area, there's 3 million people in that, the whole area can't be made, you cannot make an area in any part of that area. What does it have to do with post office? The person who said this gave even not one person, many people, but one of the people gave like a whole introduction how Queens was incorporated as a city and so on. Irrelevant. That's not, if you know what Ramosh Shuv is, it has zero to do with the post office. It's a Yud Beis Mill, a shetach of Yud Beis Mill, of Yud Beis Mill. Zero to do with it.
Why didn't Ramosh have the same concern with the Arab
in Europe? So Ramosh says they didn't have even close to 3 million.
So if it's close, then you have the Gazera, but if it's too far away from 3 million, then you're fine.
Right, so isn't that the issue?
Good
that,
question.
That today
why
is,
too,
why isn't that the issue? At his question, today it's 2.6. 30 years from now, there's a growth in the area, yeah. And now we hit 3 million. So the Arab that was good, because now it's not good.
So why didn't he say that?
Now you've had all these people living with the Arab, and all of a sudden now it's not good. All
right, so why didn't he say that in the Queens, in Kew Garden Hills?
Because it's much lower.
It's not much lower. It's a few hundred thousand people. It's catching up. It's going to catch up.
Is there much of any chuvas about the Lions Broadway?
No such a thing.
I don't know what the numbers are.
No.
I remember him coming to the Lions.
It'll be today. It's 2.2, 2.3. You're not far off. A gezeirah, zicha should be a problem. His gezeirah should zicha be.
What about the other cities?
Any chuvas for the
Chicago, LA?
No. I can tell you an interesting story.
Why is Brooklyn unique as opposed to all the other cities?
That is the question. Why is Brooklyn unique?
That is the question.
The reason is, I'll tell you what the reason is. I cannot say names. I don't want to speak about the moment. But you asked me a good question about Far Rockaway.
Rav Nissen Alpern invited him. I remember.
Rav Nissen Alpern and Rabbi Blumenkranz.
Right.
Rabbi Blumenkranz, I spoke to personally. Rabbi Blumenkranz was an ishalim, and he was looking. He even gave a letter for the Baruch Pakei that there shouldn't be any machloikas. The Blumkranz told him that when he made the Erev in Far Rockaway, he asked him, Moshe, can you make one? And Moshe said, yeah, mach, go make. What happened was, he got a phone call from a Rav. This Rav was the reason why there was a fight in Manhattan. This Rav was the reason why there was a fight in Flatbush. And this Rav was the reason why there was a fight in Barat Pass. This Rav, he was very anti-Aim. He called up Rabbi Blumenkranz and he said to him, you make the Erev? You make? Yeah. So he says, they get the chashos. Who's giving you permission? So he says, what do you mean? They rely on, my kehillah relies on me for chashem. The world relies on me on chashem, Pesach, and so on. I can't make an Erev. Why is it any different? He said, no, Erev is different. Psalm tradition says, so he says, what do you mean? There's a special best in Hamiyuchid Lakach. Nini, who? Me. And Rasim Chelberg and Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. These were all virulent anti-Arab people. And Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky is very interesting. In deal, he did say they can. I'm not clear. I don't know. He wanted to go with the Mishkan Yankiv. That's a whole different story. I don't want to get into that now. Rav Blumenkranz told me, he went running to Rav Moshe. He was just scared they're going to get to Rav Moshe first. And he said, "Ich will a michtav. I want a letter from the Rosh Hashiva." And Moshe says, "No. Chkenish gave him an abri. What's name? Chkenish gave him an abri." So he says, "Because the Rav, he didn't tell him who called him, but Moshe knew what the problem was." He says, "Because the Rav who called you is going to make me miserable, and I don't want this on my head. It did good. Go ahead and do it. Leave me out of it. I don't want to be involved." That is, by the way, the Moshe Shita, period. Anybody knew the Moshe? He was, edel is not the word. I'm not talking about his going this, which is in the Shire. I'm talking about his, you disagree with me? Go ahead and do what you want. Besides the point, how could we require the world to follow the Yukim in the Moshe Shuvah? That, in Queens we could do it because of this. I'll tell you, I'll give a very general overview. I believe that the Moshe maintained that if you separate an area of in the Yud Beis Mill of less than 600,000 with a Tzuzah Pesach, the Moshe would have allowed it. And I prove in two places in Igros Moshe, the truth is I didn't bring it because I didn't want to really get into this part. It's very complicated. In two places in Igros Moshe, the Moshe writes that Bara Pak Lechod, actually, I can show it to you, one of them is printed here. Dashmata. If you're going to see this, you're going to say, what? What is he talking about? Now you understand what I mean when people lie to Rav Moshe. I'll tell you the page. 1 second. Probably the next one. Yes, page 10. Page 10. If you look...
Can I guess the initials of that person?
No. I'm not going to... No way. Rav Moshe writes over here. It, the underline in the center, you see where it says Abel al Brooklyn Shatoli Bedina Samach Rebuy? Let's go back a little further down. Let's continue. Yeshan Habi Yosaf Shu Oid al Shetach Apoches Meyut Beis Mil Ayut Beis Mil Bechem Borapa who us Medina Bleidak. So he's saying here Abel al Brooklyn Shatoli Bedina Samach Rebuy in Nimtol Beshetach Lo Yos Meyut Beis Mil Ayut Beis Mil. The key mention is by a shift flapish. Yeshem harbe yoise. Afshi yoid al shetach apoches mi yud beiz mil al yud beiz mil. Bechein barapak hu usa medinim loy dalsis. Basically, the Moshe is saying, he says it much better in the second tshuva, which I don't have here, where he says clearly, barapak and flapish l'chud, each have shishim ribud. What? If you, the Erev encompasses in barapak, maximum 200,000 people, the Erev and Flatbush encompasses 250,000 people, depends which area. What? Shishim Ribbi, what is going on over here? The people who were handling Rav Moshe at that point lied to him. They told him that. And I believe that if Rav Moshe would have known that we're using a Tzusa Pesach to demarcate a part of Brooklyn, he would have allowed it. I have a lot of rise to it. And lately, I've used this as an argument, and many people have told me, it doesn't make any sense because it has to do with Yud Beis Mill. Yud Beis Mil, Rav Moshe held steady to that. But Rav Moshe admitted that if you demarcate part of it and had less than 600,000 people, you'd be masking. And the interesting thing is, in Detroit, I have the letter back and forth between Rav Moshe and Rav Grubman. He was the Rav over there. And Rav Moshe was told, the truth is, how did Rav Moshe allow Detroit? So he says, it really should be a gzeira, because even though Detroit's not so big, but it's big enough that people are going to think that that it has Shishim Ribbit. So Rav Moshe says, no, you're only doing two small parts. So here again, so people were arguing with me, no, but Detroit is different. So if you take out a map of Detroit, you see it's built up from Detroit City proper all the way to Oak Park and wherever they made the area over there, it's built up in one thing. And they wrote that to Rav Moshe. Grubner printed it in his sefer, and he printed something that was never published from the Debrecen Rav. And the Debrecen, there's a tshuva there from the Debrecen Rav. The Debrecen Rav said to Grubner that what Rav Moshe is saying, that even though the areas where you're making the area are part of a major metropolis, but since you're demarcating it with its successor, it's definitely separated. He understood the Moshe as well as meaning that. But I'd prefer to get into the Mechitzas. I don't want to make the same mistake that the Nasha Klein did. The Nasha Klein, is his tshuvas on the Erev in Flatbush, in Barabach, wrote 11 reasons why. And some of those were sniffs lehetta. They were not fundaments. And the Osterim picked them apart and made a joke at it, certain things. The red lights and the cars and the this. Whatever he wrote, he had a milismach. But the truth is, mechitzah should have been foremost in front, because mechitzah is a very difficult thing. Even in Manhattan, Rav Moshe had a problem Osterim with mechitzah. It doesn't apply to here, and I'll tell you why in a minute. All right. There, like I said, there's another criteria. I mentioned it briefly, if we were to demarcate an area. But the one I'd like to talk about is mechitzes. And at this point of the matter, we have to come to the Barapak, how the Barapak area comes into play over there. One of the things that Nasha Klein made use of for the Barapak area was the Brooklyn, that Brooklyn is encompassed by mechitzes at the waterfront. And therefore, is a Rishus HaYochid Midaraisa. In a Moshe's tshuva, we rebutted Nasha's argument that Moshe counted. And until now, the mechitzes did not exist. But that one can investigate. Nonetheless, Rav Moshe continues that even if Brooklyn was encompassed by mechitzes, as he mentioned previously regarding the Manhattan area, if there was Shishim Ribbit, dalsus would be needed at the piers, even if the area was not in Rishus HaRabim. So, if we turn to page 19 and 20, I'm not going to go into this very much. This tshuva, it's in Kuflamites, is where he talks about I apologize. This is to Rav Moshe Klein. If you see in the bottom of the page on the left side, umetzad mechitzes of Brooklyn kafia yidua she'ad ata einakim v'zeh esh levar, we can be mavar that ukafima she'ksafti biggest moshe chelik alef simin kuf lamet pes and av gimel, that is about Manhattan she'ike samach ribui tzorich dalsis av kishene b'din ishu sarabim k'debar kisham ba'orich. So Rav Moshe is saying that even though you have in Brooklyn mechitzes, but we still would require Dilassos by the Pirtzes, as I said in the Manhattan Tshuva, and so on. However, if we explore what Rav Moshe wrote regarding the Dilassos in the Manhattan area, we'd see that he was referring to the bridges. Meaning, in Manhattan they were using for Tzurus HaPsochem the bridge towers. These towers were beyond the Mechitzes encompassing Manhattan. In other words, like this. There's two things when you have Mechitzes. Mechitzes could change the status of the area into Rishus HaYochid just by being encompassed by three sides, according to almost everyone, according to almost all the Rishonim. That's the way we paskin. However, for a heter tilton, the Derabonim, the ability to carry in that area, you can't, because you're encompassed by three mechitzes, you can't carry. If you have pirtzes in those mechitzes, as long as the mechitzes are only merubal apart, it's mostly built up on three sides, it's called a Rishus HaYochid Midaraisa. But to carry, you have to close up the fourth side and the pirtzes. That's Midarabonim, you have to close. Rav Moshe maintained that if in Manhattan he considered a Rishus HaYochid Midaraisa, he did not argue that point. However, he said that the Gishorim, the bridges that went from Manhattan to Brooklyn or wherever, are pirtzes. Those pirtzes are not anymore in the mechitzes, because they weren't building anything in Manhattan. Manhattan was enclosed on all four sides by mechitzes. There were only a few tzuris HaPsochim that they were putting up. And the reason why that was is to put up a Trusa Pesach today takes a lot of work. Check out West Hampton Beach if you want to see what they're fighting about now. Manhattan those days, in 1960s, was even more complicated. It was very difficult to put up Trusa Pesach. And in Europe as well, whenever they built Eruv, they tried to use as many existing structures as possible. And as an added benefit, that there's less upkeep needed as well. But they tried to use as many existing structures in Manhattan, and mostly it wasn't closed, so they closed certain pieces with 2-3 Trusa Pesachim when needed. But the bridges were very difficult. You can't get near a bridge today. Look at that. Today, with the Homeland Security, you come next to a bridge and stop building, they'll be arrested right away. I know the person involved in this area, he had some problems with Homeland Security already. But in any case, so what did they do? And this is all documented in the Shatzer Rebbe, who I mentioned previously, wrote a whole sefer on Manhattan. They used the towers of the bridges. The way the structure was, he figured out that all of them had a din of a Trusa Pesach. However, Moshe was saying that this Trusa Pesach was out of Manhattan's mechitzes. The Manhattan mechitzes, the bridge went over the mechitzes, and look at the towers, they're in the middle of the water. So Rav Moshe said they're poritz l'maloya, they're not included. And if there's a rabban bokim, and there's a whole cheshbon he has what's called a rabban there, if it's part of the city, then it has it. But he admitted that it is a mishus ha-yochid with a rice in Manhattan. So Rav Moshe said, I was told there are no mechitzes. Now, but that's possible to be mavar, Rav Moshe said. But even if there were mechitzes, you still will need the dalsis by the pirtzes, as I said about the bridges in Manhattan. Really, the tshuvas that I gave you, that I included in this handout, page 21, 23, 22, and 23, you could all read on your own. You'll see that Rav Moshe says that what I said about the dalsis by the bridges are needed. Dalsis are doors. That is the next step beyond Trusa Pesach. He says that because this is added to Shus HaYochid, meaning the Manhattan Mechitzes, you would need Dalsis at that point. However, if you look closely in what I underlined here, the Moshe is Moidim, that if I build a Trusa Pesach in the Shus HaYochid, meaning I don't include the ramp of the bridge, I come in or I build it on the ramp before the Mechitzes are finished, the Moshe is Moidim, that it is. You see that over there? Rav Moshe's moide that it is sufficient. So now, to summarize, that there are mechitzas in Brooklyn has been attested to by many rabbonim and should never have been a point of contention. The only reason why mechitzas are a point of contention in Brooklyn is because people want to asa an Erev no matter what. That's it. They're not interested in finding a Teirim. By them, an Erev is lahavdul a Teirim, and you have to make sure to be oikrit. Like I said, the Lamdonim factor, in the beginning of the thing, the Lamdonim feel that Erevin doesn't belong to the local Rav. It's something that only a Lamdon, Rosh Hashiva, has a right to meddle in. Following this, since the Borough Park and Flatbush Erevin, not closing the entire borough of Brooklyn, but only these neighborhoods which are included in Brooklyn, in the Brooklyn Mechitzes, they definitely would be sufficient according to Rav Moshe, since the two Sapsachim were erected in Shus HaYochid Medraisa. That means Brooklyn is encompassed by three mechitzas, or even four if you use mechitzah batim on the fourth side. Rav Moshe admits it's a Shus HaYochid Medraisa. He has no problem with mechitzas. But what Rav Moshe had a problem with, we have bridges. But we're making up to Trusa Pesach inside Brooklyn. We're encompassing Flatbush separately, and we're encompassing Borough Park separately. We're not coming onto the bridges where you have a problem with it, that you would need dalsis because it's poritz l'maloya. It's open to another area. It's open on both sides, open to Brooklyn or whatever. So the mechitzas in Brooklyn, I believe that Moshe would have no problem with. So we have two reasons so far. I told you briefly a third reason. There's no 3 million here. And there's mechitzes here, so it's not only is there a shayla, it's a reshus ha-yochid midraisa. And that's, by the way, somebody asked me about Manhattan. I believe if you leave out the bridges in Manhattan, Rav Moshe would be moida. There is another thing which is very difficult, very time-consuming. Rav Moshe has other issues with it, with a plot here, Rajbe, but Rav Moshe only uses everything as a tzirif. all the things to ask. If you look carefully in the end of Simon Kif Lamates, you'll see if you take away some of the ingredients, or Moshe's moida, that you can. The last page I included here.
What are the mechitzas?
All right, so the mechitzas are like this. In truth, there's more than one set of mechitzas. You have mechitzas in Brooklyn that are built up, like I said, the Army Corps of Engineers. You have gates. You cannot, if you wanted to walk into the water in Brooklyn, there's almost no place, almost nowhere, you can walk straight into the water. It's built up by gates. A lot of it is private property that fronts the water. Then there are gates beforehand. I'm not even getting into Mechitza Batim, which people misunderstand in Moshe, and Moshe would be masking to Mechitza Batim if you have it on four sides. You don't have to come on to the Chazanish, where the Chazanish is Chiddush, and Moshe should be masking. But we'll leave that aside. There are Mechitzas, the waterfront.
Which Mechitzas does it rely on?
So I'm saying, Brooklyn is encompassed by Mechitzas. Not
Burr Park.
So because the water, at the waterfront, take an eye check. I went to Shlomo Gross, the Bells of Dying.
Mechitzas are outside of the circle.
No, we're saying,
right, there's Brooklyn
saying,
and we have the circle.
For a heter tiltal, meaning, it's just a yochid midaraisa. If I had to tiltal, you have to close all periods. It doesn't say I have to close it by the mechitza. I have to make sure that my area where I'm standing is enclosed and is not a kanulus midarabona. So if I enclose part of Brooklyn, as long as I'm in the mechitzas, then Brooklyn is a shayochid. I, midrabonin, it's still kamelis, I can't carry. So you enclose anywhere I want. So I'm not including the bridges, or I'm much further in. As long as the three mechitzas enclose the area, I'm in a shayochid midraisa. All right. The last page, this was included in Mark Shapiro's new book, actually.
Where does Borough Park close within
Borough Park itself is enclosed around Borough Park. Flatbush is around. Meaning, let's say there's three sides. Borough Park is here, and Flatbush is here. So you have three sides. This is Rishus HaYochid. This whole area is Rishus HaYochid. Borough Park is here, so we're in Rishus HaYochid. So we made our neighborhood is enclosed with a Tzur
Sofeset. An additional Tzur Sofeset around the neighborhood.
Right. We actually tried to fix up the mechitzas around Brooklyn, and we did it really for those who want to go with Rav Aaron in the Mishkan HaSiyankit, which is a whole different issue, which he says Asaram about the mechitzas, the whole thing, because with Brooklyn mechitzas have a benefit over mechitzas, using mechitzas of houses, because the Brooklyn mechitzas front the water. There's no rabbin bottom boy. They are. Is so even the Mishkan HaSiyankit would be moida that if I close it, it would be, it's like tzirif mechitzas. The problem is that they're holier than the Pope themselves, and they went and ripped it by the water. It was unbelievable. We even built mechitzas to try to be mamayit the pitzas yud. Unbelievable what these guys did. But when we told them, I don't care, I don't need it. I'm not machmel at the Mishkan HaSiyankit. Nobody followed, not the Moshe, no one followed the Mishkan HaSiyankit. You want it, I'll do it for you. You don't want it? L'chaim l'sholem, I don't need you, and that's it. In any case,
last page,
page 24. This is very interesting.
They were tearing down a
Tzur Sofeset. That's in Borough Park. It's very interesting. I believe that the Moshe, because he never issued a psak in Bor, I think that Reb Moshe, there's a very big kasha in Manhattan. There is a tshuva that was written in the Torah Vahira. That's Reb Moshe's yeshiva gave it out. I should have brought it, but in any case, there Rav David Feinstein asks, why in Manhattan, this was in Tovshin Lamed Zayin, way after the Manhattan debacle happened, and Reb Moshe wrote, David wrote, why are we soymich? He's talking about Manhattan, making Erevin, street Erevin in Manhattan for Sukkis. What are we relying on? So he says, we rely on Behechlet Shitas Rashi. I don't understand. Your father said Yud Beis Mil. But any part of the Yud Beis Mil, he said Manhattan is a problem. Not maybe because of the Yud Beis Mil, for whatever reason, Reb Moshe had a problem with the Manhattan area. So what's pshat? In truth, Reb Moshe knew that his chedushim were chedushim. And many times Reb Moshe said that there is no Rishus HaRabim today. That's why he allowed us to go with a watch on Shabbos, gloves on Shabbos. He writes in those tshuvas that there's really no such a thing as Rishus HaRabim today. So when we tell that to someone, they say, nah, but he doesn't mean Barpak and Flatbush. He wrote Chuvas Kenegedem. How could he mean Barpak and Flatbush? So that's why this is very pertinent. There is a letter. It was published first in Amat Torah, where it says, assuming with the Maklas, a blind woman who went with a walking stick on Shabbos, and it says that the woman lived in Barpak. At the end of the tshuva, Rav Moshe wrote that this came out, no such a thing as a shusarabim, and that was one of his tzerufim, why you're allowed to, she's allowed to walk with it. This came out, no shusarabim today, that's why she's allowed to walk with it. When they printed Igus Moshe, Chelek Ches, take a look what it says. There's a star there. Be'inye ma'ashashalos oides isha suma, and they took out the word barapak. Yeah.
The star does not appear in the printed there. That's
right, I added the star. They took out the word barapak because it would be a stira to Rav Moshe.
They printed
the
test after he passed away, right?
No, not really. One second.
Yeah.
The tshuva, Hess was. Hess is this one. Right. You're right. It was right afterwards.
It's not
no, but I know they. It is. Moshe had a. They had a writer and they played with things. I don't believe all the tshuvas were whatever. I know for a fact. Somebody came over to me. Lives in Muncie, and he told me that my father was one of the writers. He was so proud of it. I thought, very good. Thank you very much. It just added to what I know now. I mean, you know they call it Igus Mortis and not Igus Moshe. People call it Igus Mortis.
It's not the same style of writing as that.
No, some of it is. Some of it is. But the insertion of the Einikol, of explanations in each tshuva, is the ultimate chutzpah. And Moshe's tshuvas are so important, and are read the world over. Every word, people are shoykel. Did he mean this? Did he mean that? Who are you to try to explain to me what Moshe is? Hashem, can I just learn on my own? I don't need you to tell me how to learn on Moshe. Stay out of it. That bothered me very much. I'm not the only one. I'm sure many people had this problem. All right, anyway.
You are a Talmud Chacham, but people like me who can't understand without some help.
You're not going to get that help either. It's not going to help
really?
You either. No.
Because
okay. I don't think he fully understood everything. I'll tell you. All right.
Okay.
He wrote, Gabi Erwin, I'll give you an example. He writes over the year, that Rav Moshe writes the Gabbai Shitas Chazonish regarding Mechitzas Abatim. So Rav Moshe writes over there. He had a whole problem with the Mechitzas with the Chazonish. So the Einikol goes and puts in brackets that Lamaisa, the Chazonish himself, really asked this kasha what Rav Moshe is asking, and he emphasizes it. So like he comes up with a doichik pshat in what Rav Moshe is saying. The Teretz is very simple. That tshuva was written to Rav Moshe Klein. Simcha Ches and Chaylik Ches. Orchaim Avov, Chaylik Ches, it's in Krach Ches. That tshuva, how did it happen? Rav Moshe Klein wrote a whole tshuva with 11, like I mentioned before, 11 reasons why you could have and make an Erev in Barapak. They took that to Rav Moshe, and Rav Moshe wrote a bir and a rebuttal on each thing. Whether Rav Moshe wrote it or not, that's a different story. I think some Yad Zor is the. All of a sudden, he brings down a Rekeyach and so on. Rav Moshe never brought down a Rekeyach. He didn't. Whatever. Now, when it came to the Chazonish, which Moshe Klein was using as one of the Teirim, he just wrote the Kitzur, what the Chazonish holds. He didn't go into lengthy discussion of the Chazonish Shitta. And anybody who knows the Chazonish Shitta on Hilchas Erevin, you have to be somewhat of a Talmud Chacham. Because the Chazonish was phenomenal on Erevin. Chaim Moisa said that about him. He was the biggest man. He was phenomenal in everything, but Erevin was like unbelievable. And Moshe simply did not see the Chazonish inside. He only saw what Rav Moshe Klein wrote. So these Chachumim going right inside, that, he meant this, he meant that. How come can't cop? Rav Moshe never saw the Chazonish inside. If he would have seen the Chazonish inside, he wouldn't have had what to say. Because he didn't understand. He didn't know what the Chazonish said. He simply didn't understand it because he was going on Rav Moshe Klein's tshuva, which was only ma'atik a little bit. So this is an example. They just mix you up. They don't know what they're talking about.
Rav Moshe saw it and doesn't understand it, someone else wrote it.
Rav Moshe never saw Chazonish inside.
The rebuttal was written by someone else. That person didn't know.
If you know Rav Moshe, he never saw, he never looked in the Chazonish. He never looked in any of the Achroinim. I mean, he had tremendous respect for the Chazonish. Everybody had respect for him. But he didn't look in many Achroinim at all. It was basically Chasam Sofer, Kiva Ege, And that was it. And he usually argued on that when he brought them. And others is when an einikol wrote in that my zayder, my article, or chvais, davenez, this thing with apikoyimin, and this and that, he said this. So he rebutted, or when, you know, but he himself, Moshe worked straight, clean, and shoinim. Achroinim was mainly Shulchan Aruch, Noisakelim, Prima Godim, Moshe knew every word. Moshe was so makbid, if he ever forheard someone, and they told him, oh, that's a prima godim simin this and that, and Moshe would correct him and say, no, it's not simin Steve Cotton Bays, it's Steve Cotton Gimel. And people will look at the Moshe like, wait, you're Bakava showing off how exactly where it is that you're such a man. Moshe said, you don't understand. I pass him from my head. If I forgot something, I'm worried about it. I have to go look again. So I want to make sure I'm right. So I'm telling you, it's simin Gimel. It's Steve Cotton Gimel. Reb Moshe had his very unique derech in halacha. He didn't look in achrayim. He definitely did not see the chazan ish inside. I have no doubt about it. And what the Ein Lakish wrote there is a meratzis. They have no idea what they're talking about. It's common things they wrote in that tshuva that has no shaykhis to what the facts. Anyway, I hope I explained and some of the issues involved and on the flap of shared. And I think carry on, as they say.